All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call this meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Councilmember Feist.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We got a full house, and we have a very full agenda. So I will preface everybody tonight to be succinct in their comments. And as it is full, please limit your comments to 4 minutes. First item on the agenda after Pledge of Allegiance, obviously, is public comment. Note this is time set aside for public comment on all non-agenda items. If you have an item on the agenda later you'd like to comment on, public comment will be provided for you at that time. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none. Anybody online? Oops.
Roger is.
Roger, agenda guy. All right. Moving along, we've got the approval of the October 15th and the October 29th minutes. Council, you have them in front of your packet. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none. Council.
I am to approve the October 15th and October 29th minutes.
I have a motion to approve the minute.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we're moving right along here. Pizza, faster than I thought. As you see, we have a court report from Judge Loveless. That's basically saying the amounts collected. Same as always, nothing really new or exciting there. I don't think there's any questions, is there? Being none, that brings us to departmental reports. First up, as always, is Amy.
The TextMyGov app is live. Hopefully you received a text so you could opt into it. If you didn't, there's instructions on the website. So that's up and running. There's a Toys for Tots donation bin in the admin office. We're up to 178 addresses in Highland Meadows that have building and zoning on them. That's up 5 since my last written report. And we have 62 addresses in Vigilante subdivision. That's up 4 since my last written report. The big jump is Red Fox Meadows. We finally found out who's doing their books, and we're friends with them now, so we know exactly how many connections are there. So that's a 38 connection jump. The middle school may or may not be bringing a student here for off-site learning. I haven't seen them yet. They did say they may need to, but it worked out fine last year. We hardly noticed them. It seemed to be a good fit. I attended TextMyGov trainings, the wastewater funding call, the race meeting, meeting about the website, and had someone from Doxo approach me about providing another free bill pay option. And I'll get more details on that, but this one is completely free to the residents if they want to pay by ACH and not be set up for every single month. And on the back, the Christmas convoy has their flyer out. Sounds like it's going to be well attended.
Debbie Paul.
Yeah.
You and I. Best. Any names?
It is.
To highlight that on there, I was reached out to by former Marine David Lee, commonly known around this town as UGG. He's hoping to get some Toys for Tots in that basket. So I'm gonna go buy some. Hopefully we get a little something there. We haven't had the apparently we're getting out class by the VFW or something. I don't know. We gotta get some more toys in there for those tots. So if you happen to have something, it'd be cool to get it in the city box. That's what UGG told me to tell everybody. That's that. Next up in the reports is Chief Sanders.
Hey, everybody. Well, we've surpassed our calls for service, highest I've ever seen. October, we had 475. During those calls, being in traffic, we had 46 parking, 13 animal calls, 5 agency assists, 3 roadways. We also wrote 34 cases just in October as well. and we've surpassed our case numbers from last year already this year. I know we've had two options off for almost 4 months. So it's been a very busy year for us. Some of the activities we're involved with, October 23rd, we had a great time with the Red Ribbon Parade. That's always a lot of fun. October 31st, Deputy Royce and I were in the gym hanging out with Andy with Mary Harris and health members. It's always a great time as well. November 6th, we attended the Prickly Pear Land Trust tour of the Wyoming Trails. Kind of a chilly afternoon, but had a great turnout. Deputy Chief Royce led the Veterans Day Parade on the 11th. Got to experience the planet. And then this morning we attended the Chamber Coffee with Council Member Feist, and then we had a gripping couple hour of records management meeting after that. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief? Thank you. Public Works Director Orr.
I'll be fast. Just a few things you guys have on my report. So first off, find Ms. Perlinski and I attended a DEQ meeting. We talked about that future and wanted to touch base on where we were in the groundwater permitting. The meeting went very well. It was positive. We didn't get any head shakes. No, everybody was kind of on the right direction. Realistically, we're probably looking about 6 months before we know if it's a yes, we're going to be able to do it or not. It may be a little sooner, it may be a little longer, but tentatively, 6 months before we know one way or the other. It's out for internal review right now. Two VFDs have failed out there at the plant, which is a little bit frustrating. So this is the electronics, the control pumps and motors out there. They're just old. They're 20 years old. They're failing. The bad part is they're about $10,000 a piece. So it's just proof in the pudding that the plant is reaching its life expectancy, as you guys know. But we're working on that. Dennis is trying to repair one of them. The other one is, it's just complete. So for sure, we're going to have to buy at least one of them. See what happens from there. The last couple things, just happy to report how LaSand finished all their milling and paving projects for the year. If you haven't driven around a couple blocks of Ridge, 3rd, Rochelle, they did a great job. It turned out really good. They'll be back tentatively April 14th. It's just a date we picked out of a hat. It's weather dependent. But they'll be back in the spring to do Lewis, Dudley, and that little block of 2nd to 3 dirt streets. And in the meantime, we'll keep working on the Clinton Street. We have the funds still there that if we can get all 5 residents to agree, we'll be able to pave it. That's my hope over the winter. And if we can't, we tried really hard. And then lastly, Sean Zimmerman. I was going to ask him to come to this meeting, but it was so popular already, I thought we'll not make the new employee on his second day I come to this line of council meeting. But Sean started. It's really good. Works well with the guys already. Just can tell that it'll be a fine fit. So he started, and happy to say that's going well. So any questions from the other stuff in the report?
Have all the residents on?
No, I haven't, just because we have so much time. So
just knowing, though, that winter's coming and that road will not be.
Oh, yeah. I will.
That I'll need to be notified.
Yeah, I'll make it a priority. It's time consuming explaining it all. So it doesn't mean, honestly, I have enough time, but I will. Anything else?
Thanks, Kev. Any other questions?
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, guys. Chief Campbell, are you available?
I am.
All right, you're up.
So, been a very productive last month for us. We did do the trick-or-treat thing. It's the first year since I've been here that we actually ran out of candy. There was just a ton of people, and we were trying to limit it as much as we could, but we still ran out of candy by the end of the night. We do have some stuff coming up. We're getting already set up for Christmas stroll in December. And we also have the Heroes and Helpers, which is, some places it's called Shop with a Cop. We're going to go out and help with that, at Target in December. And then as far as call responses go, it's been on the light side, which we really appreciate. We did have a structure fire at 704 East Riggs. We had a pretty fast response as soon as we got the call out. We requested mutual aid from other departments. We were able to contain the fire to the garage portion of the home. It never got inside the home. So kudos to all the responding departments and our department as well for their fast response and knockdown of that fire. I've already been in contact with the homeowners insurance and insurance company. There was really no investigation done due to the homeowner explaining how the fire started. There was nothing out of the ordinary about it. It was just teenage kids and they made some bad decisions. So we're good there. And I think that's it. We're bringing on three new firefighters, hopefully tonight. So hopefully by the next meeting, I'll have some people to bring in and introduce to the city council and the mayor to show them the new firefighters off. That's pretty much it for me. I do have a guy coming in to start doing some maintenance on our trucks, just general maintenance to get him caught up to speed on what's going on. He'll start next week for me. So that's about it. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Being done here. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That brings us to unfinished business. The first thing on the unfinished business is the request for the East Clark Water and Sewer District. It lists that City Attorney Elverum, it's not really his purview here. The request was made by Mr. Mason, who is the president of the East Clark Sewer and Water District. So go ahead and feel free to present your request. Your request.
Yeah, I guess I'm not aware of any request.
What we have in front of us is requesting revocation of vote to cancel interlocal agreement that took place at the meeting of 5/7/24.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think Bob had talked to me about that. I think he was met with the city attorney or the city engineers, and he said he was going to start working on that tomorrow. So if you guys could just table that until he's going to need some time to kind of get that done, because he'll start working on it tomorrow, but he told Bob. So I'm okay with that. What's happened, the question they had about a month ago, we had a meeting here. So
specifically, what you put on the agenda request was a revocation of the vote, which is different than what me and Bob talked about. And I'm referring to your email from October 9th that you sent to all the council members. What the city is moving forward with is a new agreement, which allows the district and its 107 connections to continue their use of the district and put them back in good standing. But it is a new agreement. So what was proffered on the agenda request is different than that. So if you'd like to speak to that, this is your time.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about it. Just kind of following Bob's lead on the whole thing. I didn't hear it. It's been like a month, I guess, since we've done this. I didn't hear anything until a couple of days ago.
So is my understanding that you're rescinding this request?
Yes. That'd be
fine. Okay.
Okay, well,
is there any further public comment on this request? Being done, council.
I think a deny would be better than a table in this case.
I agree.
Make a motion to deny.
Motion to deny.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Bring this to the second item on the unfinished business, which is the second reading of Ordinance 289, providing that East Helena City Municipal Code be amended by adding the new Chapter 9.13, providing the establishment of truck routes throughout the city of East Helena. The Attorney Elbrum is on this. As you go, this is the second reading. We've gone through this before. Nothing has changed since the first reading, is my understanding correct?
Correct.
And it's the same thing you had and approved before. You did receive some public comment on that, but I believe that the direction was to go forward with what we had. Is there any public comment on the second reading?
Defense for all mosquito. They just have some updates and we entered in some photos into the public. I'm just going to jump around. You've got the narrative in front of you. If you do have that narrative, I'm just going to go quickly. I apologize to you folks. We've got a little damage to recently paved and/or slip covered residential streets and water valves. An oversized and overweight truck to navigate not only residential streets but narrow and out-of-out ways as well. Just a few examples: photos 1, 2, 3, 3A and 4, which will show damage to the streets and the water valves. Regarding number 1, Purvich did not specify the maximum truck radius for allowable trucks, regardless of the destination. Overweight and or oversized eastbound semi-truck combinations routinely travel in the westbound lanes on Westgale Street now for not 2 to 4, 1 to 4 at the time, resulting in blocking of both oncoming westbound vehicles. See photos 5 and 6. Westbound school bus with force into the North Gale Street Barrel Pit, photo 7. Westbound pickup truck and boat combination was forced into the North Gale Street Barrel Pit, photo 8. With a zoom in, but eastbound oversized semi truck combinations are traveling in the westbound lanes for 4 blocks. Regarding eastbound, photo 9, eastbound oversized semi truck combinations traveling in the westbound lane for multiple blocks, blocking westbound vehicles from turning onto Gale Street from Morgan Avenue. And then previously, westbound semi truck trailers routinely travel in eastbound lanes of West Gale Street for at least now, not 2, but 1 to 4 city blocks at a time, blocking both oncoming eastbound vehicles. See photos 10, 11, and 12. Westbound oversized trailer combinations blocking vehicles attempting to turn onto West Gale Street and travel eastbound. Through in another residential street example on Porter Street, you'll see photo 13, westbound overload, oversized semi-truck trailer combinations blocking vehicles attempting to turn onto Porter Street and travel eastbound that was forced over to travel in the westbound lane. The dump truck, there's a photo 14, abandoned trailer pup in the westbound travel lane. Regarding number 2, maximum GVW allowable to be allowed to travel off the defined route. See photos 15, 16, and 17. Not allowable oversized overload combinations that should not be allowed to be on residential streets or in residential alleys at all. Number 3, the verbiage did not specify allowable truck classifications that will be allowed. See photos 15, 16, and 17, oversized overload truck combinations that should not be allowed on residential streets or in residential alleyways at all. Regarding number 4, definitions, number 5, truck definition is too vague. At a minimum, it should be raised to read 2, not 3 or more axles, as to include 2-axle trucks, box trucks, oversized pickup trailer combinations. Another truck configuration that cannot properly turn on residential streets or alleyways. See photos 18 and 19. One example of a non-allowable oversized overload pickup truck combination with 2 axles which should not be allowed on residential streets and or in residential alleyways at all. Photo 20, overload oversized 2-axle box truck should be included and travel restricted on residential streets and or residential alleyways. The penalty regarding number 5, see photo 21, accumulative effect of various types of traffic damage to a residential street which require an expensive cost to repair. Finally, since the second reading of this ordinance is currently a procedural theatrical stage of the approval process that results in unanimous city council approval, I encourage the members of the city council along with the mayor to at a minimum read my public comments in their entirety in conjunction with the 22 photos referenced and attached. To properly take the necessary steps to to properly address the city's traffic issues and act to revise ordinance that will minimize the average resident's adverse impact to their quality of life, the danger to their family members, and also damage to their property, along with attempting to minimize damage to paved residential streets that were not designed to handle these types of traffic reference communities, thus reducing future costs to keep the city's residential streets and alleyways in a reasonable drivable condition. I have provided a disc that has this PDF in it. I skimmed it just so we can get out of here tonight. And the 22 photos. The reason why you can't do really the PDFs, you'll have to watch when you read this. You need to zoom in and out in order to properly see some of them because they're so before we launch down. So
thank you. Thank you for public comment. Is there any further public comment regarding the ordinance? Council.
I move to approve ordinance 289.
I have a motion to approve as the second reading as presented. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving on down the line. We have unfinished business number 3, which is the ordinance 290, providing the East Sutton Municipal Code be amended to revising chapter 6.1.3, public drinking defined as public places to include parks in the commercial district. As you know, we talked about this last time. I peed on this. There was some old verbiage, aged verbiage. Pete has stricken that and clarified it in front of you, kind of to encapsulate your wishes. And you have that in front of you. Is there any public comment?
Let me present real quick.
You want to go ahead? Yeah.
Yeah. So from the comments we received last time, which was we wanted to make sure that the parks were fine and that Main Street corridor was fine. But some of this language we hadn't talked about and was pretty dated. So What I've done here is one, retitled it to possession of intoxicating beverages, which encapsulates what we're going for, stricken all the old stuff and added a new part A, which you see on page 2 of 3 there, and then revised the penalty a bit. So again, what it says now, and I'll read it for the record, shall be unlawful for any person to have in their possession on the streets, alleys, parks, or any other public premises of the city, any beer, wine, liquor, or other intoxicating beverage in any container on which the cap, top, seal, cork, or other closing device has been removed or opened, or in any other container from which such a beverage can be drunk directly. Think solo cup. Provided, however, that this section shall not apply to Kennedy Park, Main Street Park, or the downtown commercial district along Main Street from First Street to Thurman Avenue, nor to any individual who possesses alcohol or intoxicating beverages pursuant to a permit issued by the city council. So that's the areas that we've identified, and then the events essentially approved by the city council, which we've done in the past. Part B was revised, formerly Part C, to the penalty. Any person violating this provision shall, upon conviction thereof, be fined in a sum not to exceed $500, which again, no jail time, just gives the court some discretion up to $500. So that is also a change that is within your purview. This is the first reading, so any changes or anything you might see in this would be acceptable.
Again, I'd like to help Pete, but I appreciate his work on this. He put some time into this, tried to really encapsulate what you guys' thoughts were. So hope it meets it. I do appreciate his work. Any public comment on the ordinance? Seeing none, council.
I
have a motion to approve the first reading.
Second.
And a second. All of them in favor?
Aye.
All right. Finished. Well, we moved along from unfinished business. New business. First thing. Fire hall rental agreement for 2025 and 26. John and Margie Adams. We have in front of you the request, which are here, for use of the fire hall for 2 years. The dates are attached.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and council members. Thank you for hearing us. Our contract is up at the end of this year. We would like to petition to renew that contract. So, and the dates that we have here are for this year, for this using. We have it in front of you. And the prices, the cost that you are currently contracted under currently at $390 a month. We'd like to move forward with it.
Okay. Thank you for the request. Did receive a little bit of outreach on this one, first, so they wouldn't be here. Their concern was they appreciate the city uses this facility and has somebody a renter. Their concern was that, it's a public facility and it basically takes up all Saturdays throughout the year. And they said, although, and I kind of, in talking to this individual, I thought that they said maybe just it would be better just to go with 1 year as opposed to two. But that's some of the public comment I received. So I'm just going to start and pass that along. At this point, I'd accept any public comment on the request. Seeing none.
Is there a reason for 2 years instead of one?
It's easier for both of us. our headquarters are in North Carolina, and so for us to move back and forth to them, getting all these things done, it's just a lot easier for us to manage these things on a 2 year basis.
And are the dates available, Amy, or were any of them taken?
Nope, they're good.
I don't have an issue with it. I do understand the potential for 1 year, but things change quickly. But depending on renovations, it may or may not occur after the next budget cycle, something. I don't know what are your guys' thoughts?
I don't have a problem with 2 years.
At least so much.
Okay. That's right. But no, Glad to see you.
I think you've been good stewards of the building.
They have absolutely been good stewards of it.
Appreciate being able to use it. It's, it really works well in this.
Yeah, they've been a faithful renter, and in the building has been well maintained.
Well, I move that we approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
In a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Yep. Next up is the 212 Kinross Court boundary line relocation. It's a bit of an interesting one. It has Pete on here, but Jeremy's not available.
No, he was not available.
I'm going to let Kevin go up here a little bit. This has been the house that you guys were proffered that the.
Yeah.
We don't really have all the right equipment, I don't think.
Okay, so
Jeremy's an engineer.
So 212 Kinross Court, we have two issues with this address. Cul-de-sac lot, they tilted the house too much. And when they tilted the house, not only originally we thought they strictly built in the 20-foot utility easement, but turns out they also got too close with the side yard setback that they had to negotiate with the neighbor and redo the boundary line. So the first action item is the amended plat for 212 Kinross Court. Jeremy has no issues with it. His comments were to the county that the survey relocates the common boundary line between the two lots. The survey does not cause any existing structures to be out of compliance with the required zoning and setbacks for the district. His recommendation to the county was to approve it. The county and Tom Stark reviewed it and they approved as well. So that is in front of you. So we don't have the actual plat here to sign tonight. Green Williams Holmes and Staley, somebody was supposed to be present and apparently is not. So if you approve the boundary line relocation, we will get the final plat for you all to sign.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any public comment on the boundary line relocation?
My name is Taylor Plant, PLANT, and we are under contract for 212. And I just want to come up and say that I know it's taken a lot of time and I do appreciate all the time that everyone's put into it. And I'm really hoping we can get this done before there's too much snow on the ground because we'd love to be able to move in, before winter actually comes here. So thank you so much for all of your time.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve the boundary relocation.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up, next step for this
next
is the encroachment agreement. I'm going to let Kevin handle it. He's got it all.
So, next again is same address, 212 Kinross Court. Being the house was turned just slightly wrong when they poured the foundation, it encroaches the 20-foot utility easement. Again, this is just for stormwater retention overflow. Doesn't cause any issues. I think this is the third one we've had with these. For what it's worth, I think that's a little bit of a learning lesson for the city that maybe there's something different we can do with these stormwater overflows instead of just being easements, because they're obviously not getting caught on every review. Jeremy and I are badness of working through that and seeing what makes sense for future subdivisions. But again, no issues. So barring any questions, I will sit back down.
Maybe a different field.
So this is the other side of the house then?
Yeah, other side of the house. So the boundary, why do you have to ask a hard question like that? One's on the east side?
West side.
Mm-hmm. It's just the other side of the
house. Just the opposite side of the house. It's literally dark. So.
Snoop, great. Yeah. He's a neighbor over there on the west side.
Any questions from
Puffy on me?
I'm going to all Puffy.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yes.
Is there any public comment on the encroachment application? Agreement? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll be the first to say welcome to East Helena. Wish we could have got that on the sooner, we would have tried. Glad you guys got it rolling. Next up on the agenda is the City of East Helena wastewater system update. A stirring read, which will be presented by Jeremy Perlinski. It's a real page turner, everybody. Here we go.
We are reading all the places.
Oh, my God. Oh, the places we will go. Bubbles. Let me spin the foot slip. I was going to jump off.
Thank you for having me. It's been a while since we've had kind of a comprehensive update on the wastewater system. So essentially, this will be an overview and discussion, and I would encourage questions as we go. Let's not be at the very end. If it comes to your mind, please feel free to ask. So there were some jokes about the book that I had. As I was putting together this agenda, it seemed rather short. So we'll talk about things we've kind of done in the recent past. We'll talk maybe a quarter of the time on where we're at today, and then we'll spend about half of the time talking about future tasks associated with wastewater system. As I was writing this agenda, what kept coming to my mind was this book. I'm sure some of you have received this at graduation or something else, but I thought it was correlation somewhat to your infrastructure issues facing the city. So you know, there are ups and downs in infrastructure, just like there is in life. There are challenges and setbacks. And then ultimately, I think the goal is to keep moving forward, even in your face to a part of the city. So hopefully, with that guidance, we'll go ahead and move forward with the next page, Amy, please.
I'm just thankful with your sewer wastewater update, you didn't leave with green eggs and ham.
All right, so starting off where we've been, since the metals filtration facility was built in 2013, there wasn't a lot of planning being done on the wastewater system. Things were relatively new, and not a lot of planning work had been done. So we're going to start at 2020, and the reason that's important is in 2020, the majority of the wastewater treatment plant was 17 years old and obviously starting to show signs of fatigue, right? We predict about a 20-year service life for most of that equipment, and you're getting most of the way there. So a master plan was written, and the recommendations from that master plan focused really in two areas. One was the collection system, and the recommendation there was to do slip lining of the sewer system to try to minimize INI that was getting in. That's clean water that you don't necessarily want to treat. And the other major recommendation from that was to focus on the front half of the plant, and it was to put in a new screen and a new grit removal system that functions better than what was currently operating in the plant. One thing to note is that growth was just starting to happen in East Helena around 2020. There were obviously thoughts about Red Fox Meadows, Vigilante, and Highland Meadows, but the picture for those developments was not extremely clear. So I would say growth, flows, planning, that kind of stuff was not necessarily handled in that master plan in 2020. So out of that master plan came a project recommendation of about $3.6 million. Which essentially was the collection system and the headworks upgrades that we talked about. Moving on to 2021, being something that happened in 2020 was COVID. There wasn't a lot that happened, but the city did prepare and submit applications for ARPA funding, and they were successful obtaining $2+ million for that headworks project. Additional funding applications were finalized, and the the funding for the project was mostly put forward. So Amy, moving to the next page. On 2022, really the work on that headworks and CIPP project started in earnest, but there was a pause. If you remember, we came to you after developers had approached METG about purchasing some of their property and moving forward with development plans. We presented and the city accepted a growth plan that had some orange and yellow and green highlighted properties. And with some METG input, we finalized flows that would ultimately come from those properties. Due to that growth, we relooked at things with the pre-design and project costs had increased about $800,000 to $4.4 million. So essentially, the same project with just some increased flows. Moving on to 2023. Oh, one more thing that happened in 2022. You can see in the photo there, we did a nutrient reduction study. So one of our interns who was a student at Carroll College came out. He worked with Shane at the plant, and we wrote a report about how to potentially reduce nitrogen that's being discharged. So moving on to 2023, a couple of tasks that were added to the plate. One was a facility plan, and the other was a groundwater discharge application. And I don't want to talk about those in detail because those are later slides coming up, so remember those. At one point, we had several rate hearings, and then the council approved a rate increase for that Headworks and CIPP project, taking the rate at the time from about $66 up to $70, and then the next 4 years. As you can see, there was a significant jump in the project cost once we got to what I would call 90% design at that time. Obviously, we went from 4.4 million to 6.9. And the major reasons for that were, one, during design, we discovered that the influent pump station, so the heart of the plant that lifts the water up to the treatment processes, is essentially antiquated. It's been in service since 1983, needed replacement. And the other was looking at the screen building that's currently out at the facility. It was determined that the electrical, the structural, was not adequate for the proposed project. So a new building was being constructed to handle that instead of reusing the existing building. So those were really the two main drivers for that steep increase in cost. Okay, now we're going to move on to where we're at today. I did want to point out a few positives. So the summer of 2024, we worked on a few optimization and maintenance projects with the staff. So in the upper picture there, you can see Colton and some of the guys replacing the diffusers and the aeration basin. Another thing that happened was the city purchased two new blowers. Two blowers out there had cratered and those had to be replaced. Another thing that we worked with Shane on is there are occasional upsets at the plant that cause violations with the EQ in your effluent that's discharged quickly. We determined that some of those upsets were being caused by the sludge, the excess of sludge in the sludge storage basin. So two things we did. One was we got the rotary drum thickener operational. It had sat probably unused for 15 years, Kevin, somewhere
in that ballpark. Yes, sir.
So that was great. It's something that had been used very frequently. We were able to get that up and running, and that helps with sludge processing. You can process more sludge in a shorter period of time. The other was they lowered the level in that sludge storage basin, and what we found was sludge buildup all the way up on the sides. And so they washed and they pushed that back down. So ultimately, Shane was able to process about 90 tons of solids this year in a shorter period of time. So that's great. Another thing that we're continuing to work on is phosphorus removal. I've talked to you several times that ultimately there are a few constituents that are going to be a problem to the city as flows increase, discharging to prickly pear creek. One of those is phosphorus. So we work with Shane at changing chemicals. We've switched from ferric chloride to aluminum sulfate, and that seems to have some promising results, but we need to continue to keep going with that. Kevin mentioned some of this, but DEQ, there was lots of coordination going on this year. One was the city's MPDES, so that's essentially your surface water discharge permit to prickly pear creek. We renewed that, no problems there. Your permit has been administratively extended. That's a fancy word for saying keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully they'll get the nutrient landscape figured out down the road. Eventually you will get the permit, but you're continuing to operate under that, which is good. We've also submitted an application for a groundwater permit. So there's lots of field work done. We partnered with Water Environment Technologies out of Butte. Submitted that application, as Kevin mentioned, that was received pretty well. Meeting went great with DEQ. Hopefully we can obtain that here next year. One thing I'll touch on just briefly, and we'll discuss later in detail, is a development plan. And that's ultimately something that DEQ has now allowed for communities that are experiencing rapid growth, and hopefully it helps keep the city out of hot water moving forward. Okay, continuing on with where we're at today. Good news is we did receive approval from DEQ to bid the Headworks and CIPP project. That was in late August. So in, I think, September, late September, we went out to bid, and we opened bids in the early November, I believe, November 4th. The city did receive bids for both schedules. So schedule one is the CIPP, that's the slip lining and open pit portion. That was a little over $988,000, and that is to Vortex. It's essentially PVC is the company they used. They're here local. Schedule two is for the larger part of the project, that's the influent pump station, the Headworks building, the screening, the grip, and some other amenities. That's just a shade under $7 million, and that was that bid was submitted by Prospect Construction out of Missoula, Montana. We'll talk about awarding those bids later this morning. We expect construction to start next spring, and then in addition, we have a task order submitted to the city for construction services, which I can explain and discuss later. Ultimately, if you're keeping track of math, $1 million project, a $7 million project only adds up to $8 million. That's the construction cost. What I want to differentiate is the total project cost, the amount that you'll be borrowing or I guess paying off over time with grant and loan funds is $10.3 million, and the delta at $2.3 million accounts for professional services. So engineering services, legal services, bond counsel services, that kind of stuff, and also contingency. There's a healthy contingency associated with this project just because there typically always is with buried infrastructure stuff where you're getting into unknowns. So that's the difference between $8 million contract and the $10.3 million that we're getting from. So I think the question has been asked over time, how much is growth driving this upgrade? And I guess I'll start with the plant needs upgrades regardless of growth. I think we've established that. We've talked about it for a long time. But the question is fair, how much is associated with growth in this project? And while it's hard to pinpoint that exactly because I don't have bids for one design versus a design without growth and a design with growth, we kind of had to do some estimating. And we think that plus or minus about 23% is associated with increased flows associated with growth. And I guess I'd like to point out that that number is smaller than you might think, and that is due to economy of scale. Once you build a headworks facility, making a little bit bigger to accommodate the growth isn't double the cost or triple the cost. It's a portion of that cost, and we think it's about 23%. The good news is the city's seen pretty substantial growth. So as of August 2024, we worked with Amy to get some numbers, but growth since 2020 has been 356 EMUs, which is about 52% growth when you're thinking about single-family residential homes in this town. So at the end of the day, when I put this stuff into a spreadsheet and I crunch the numbers and the lights dim in our office, I think at the end of the day, the results, the savings to the community is about $1 per month per EMU. So that increase in users in the system is actually saving the city about $1 per user per month, and that's just due to the amount of growth that you've seen today. Okay, any questions on where we've been and where we are? All right, let's move to where we're headed. This is where I'll probably spend a little bit more time.
I guess I do yeah, have a question, Jeremy. I don't know if it's for you, but the number of development fees that we have received,
We'll receive our first set from this triplex.
Okay.
And then
I couldn't remember when it was adopted in comparison to this.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, great question. They're coming, but have not received it yet. And eventually, as more and more development happens, those fees can be used to offset some of these future project costs. Good question. All right. So I mentioned that we had just written a wastewater master plan in 2020. So you might be asking, why are we writing another facility plan? I think three things that I'd like to point out. One, changes are happening fast in East Helena, and it may not seem like it, but in the terms of infrastructure, growth is happening quickly. And so that therefore requires planning to happen more frequently. The other is I mentioned that the previous master plan kind of looked at the front half of the plant in detail. We are focusing primarily on the back half of the treatment plant. So we're talking about secondary treatment, disinfection, solid stabilization, that kind of stuff. And I think the last thing is communities that we work with that are proactive, they are constantly updating their planning documents every 3 to 5 years. And that's just because things change, costs go up, and you want to have an accurate accounting of what does the city need to do in order to keep its infrastructure up? So you guys are probably falling right in the middle of that 3 to 5 year. So with that facility plan, we'll look at some treatment alternatives. We'll analyze capital and O&M costs. We'll finalize some design criteria for the future upgrade that will happen to the wastewater plant. So right now, currently, we've gathered supplier information costs. We just received our last ones this week. We're starting to write some report chapters. We'll be submitting those to Kevin and the city for review, and we'll submit them piecemeal so that you can get a document that is this big where you'll get portions of it. So it's much more manageable and able to provide comments. Our hope is to get that facility plan done in the spring of 2025 and present it to the council for adoption. And that's just a requirement that the funding agencies have that you accept in planning document. Okay. Next page, please. Okay. Groundwater discharge permit. So I mentioned that the city hired a consultant. We hired a consultant, the city hired us to perform a groundwater discharge permit. What comes with that? Is some on-site testing. We need to look at soils. We need to do some hydrogeology work. And that's why we hired the firm out of Butte, because that's their expertise. So the groundwater discharge permit is an alternative effluent disposal. You will continue to discharge both the surface water and to groundwater if this permit is approved. And I think, as I mentioned, this it's been a while. Future compliance with your surface water discharge permit is necessary. And it's because of non-degradation loads. Non-degradation loads are based on a pounds basis, and it's just mathematics. As flow goes up, the treatment quality has to go down in order to maintain those non-degradation loads that never change over time. So as Kevin mentioned, that's currently under review, and we hope to have approval in 2025. Once we do get that approval, we'll develop some preliminary design costs and kind of a layout. You can see kind of what it looks like here today. We call them IP cells, so they're infiltration perforation cells. They're just big basins. They're gravel in the bottom, and it's intended that you pump effluent out to those. It filtrates down through the ground, mixes with the groundwater, and then heads out. So you can see that those cells, those six cells, would be located just west of the metals filtration building there. Ultimately, this project will require some funding. What the hope is that the rate increase that you've currently got in the process and this continuing increase will cover these ongoing costs or these costs for this project. We'll have to take a look at that once we get on the preliminary design and stuff put together. And hopefully at some point in time, complete that project maybe as early as 2026. Last couple of slides here on where we're headed. So I mentioned earlier a development plan. So this was created by the legislation, by the legislature. It was SB, Senate Bill 237. As I mentioned, this was created for fast-growing communities. So I think at one point in time, I came and gave a presentation on how many EDUs, equivalent dwelling units, does the city have left to issue to developers that are coming in. At that time, it was about 120. There's since been Town Pump, Vigilante West, and so that's carved up a few more. And the city has about 90 EDUs left to allocate for potential future growth. Okay, so I'm sure you've heard that there is plans for X number, hundreds of homes planned for not only Habitat for Humanity, but also for Prickly Pear Estates. And so this development plan would give the city the ability, if it's approved, to allow for additional EDUs to be allocated for development. Now, what it requires, what this development plan requires, is changes to an administrative rule, which that's in place. And then the development plan will outline milestones, finances, kind of some triggers of what the city needs to do next for this future wastewater treatment plant upgrade. So ultimately, it's a document that kind of outlines where the city needs to go in the future in order to stay in compliance with BDQ. What the plan needs is completion of the facility plan, so that'll be great. And then it also needs a funding commitment from the city. So eventually, you know, this facility is going to cost X number of dollars. You're going to have to borrow some more money, and so that commitment will have to be made at that time. So we hope to submit third quarter of 2025. And I will note that there's been one development plan submitted to DEQ so far, and that's the city of Belgrade. Again, another fast growing community like you guys. not a huge document, and it went successfully, and now they're able to allocate more expenditure while they build the next phase of their project. They just wrapped up a, I think it was a $35 million upgrade a couple of years ago. They're already going to do basically double what they are doing. Okay, now let's get to the last part, which is the treatment plant upgrade. So the upgrade, as I mentioned before, is required to replace existing components of the wastewater plant. Regardless of growth, an upgrade is needed. The plant will be designed to handle increased flows and improve effluent quality, as I mentioned before. We'll upgrade the secondary treatment process and disinfection. We'll look at solid stabilization, improving dewatering capabilities. Ultimately, we think we can initiate design in the first quarter of 2026, and some of that depends on that development review and that process. And then I left a pretty open target. We hope to have this plant operational before 2030. As you've seen with the Headworks and CIPP project, these projects don't just happen overnight. It does take time to get the designs complete, to get the funding in place, and then ultimately bid them, award them, get them constructed. I think the bottom line is that the city can't wait for development to occur and to develop that tax base to where you can collect that money. In order to keep moving forward, the city has to take steps in order to upgrade the plan so that you can continue to say yes to these developers. So with that, I know that's a lot to digest. Any further questions?
I'll say yes to providing service for our current residents as well.
It is. That's correct. Yes.
So not just for development.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that upgrade will ultimately keep you in compliance. I mean, at some point, if you just continue to run the current plant, stuff will start to fail, and that could lead potentially to non-compliance, to fines, to, you know, AOCs with the Department of Environmental Quality, to where you have to give things back. So yeah, it is, the clarification is required for it.
I think at this point, Jeremy, I'm just going to, while you're here, and this has been a good overview, see if we have any public questions, comments. This is information only. There's no vote or anything. But I'd like to see if there's any public questions regarding this subject.
Okay.
Is there any?
Well, how much debt are you asking?
For a couple of questions.
How much of that 10.3 is going to be
debt? That's a good question. I think I know that.
Yeah, I
never
see a funding slide.
I'm going off of notes and memory here, but let me see if I've got something. I do have some. So with the proposed project, we have a cost of $10.36 million. The funding package consisted of, do some quick math, about $4 million in grant funding. A little over 2 million is ARPA, and the remaining is through SRF, RGL, and MSEP. So the SRF loan amount would be about 6.5 million. I think it's 30 years and 2.5%. I think we went 30 years on this, 30 years and 2.5%.
So the CIPP project, you know, originally you guys were proposing that people wanted to move forward with it, but the council and the previous mayor and that chose not to move forward. You could have done the work down for about 6 months ago. Pretty optimistic. So the price of that stuff went up 150%.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing now is construction inflation is somewhere between 15 years.
Okay.
Which I guess the good point is the sooner you build something, the less it costs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Kelsey, do you have any questions? Yeah, everybody else. Okay, look. These guys will have questions on this. I'd like to have you where the mic can pick you up. Nothing
you've answered them thus far. We've always been forthcoming and appreciate how you put things together here for us and the conversations we've had. Otherwise, I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
I kind of have one.
Yes.
So you're talking about the development plan. If it's approved, we will be allowed additional EDUs. So even though we only have 90 left based on our capacity, they're going to let us have more because we have a plan in place. Is that kind of
Great question. Let me maybe explain it a little bit differently or a little bit more. So by administrative rule, the city can only grant capacity letters based on their available capacity. So currently, your plant is rated for about 430,000 gallons per day. The flows that are currently coming in the plant are roughly 280,000 gallons per day. So nowhere near the capacity of the plant. The problem is the city's issued capacity to future development for Highland Meadows. Vigilante obviously is built out. Red Fox Meadows is almost built out. But there are a few other developments that you guaranteed them capacity. They're just homes aren't built, or people aren't flushing toilets, that kind of thing. So available EDUs that you could write capacity letters for today is 90. What the development plan allows and recognizes is that the minute you say, Mr. Developer, you want 100 EDUs, here's your letter, so that they can go through the subdivision process, they can construct infrastructure, they can then start to build houses that eventually people occupy and start flushing toilets. The department recognizes that that takes time. And so the development plan is intended to say the developers can continue with that process as long as the city has milestones, triggers, and funding in place and a plan to build a wastewater plant, so that when people actually do start flushing toilets and all of those EDUs that you've allowed, those two converge at the same time. So yeah, you're borrowing future capacity and giving it to developers so they can continue with their process. And I think the department recognizes that doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And so communities should not be forced to have to wait and turn away development, build a plant, and then be able to allocate. And so, I mean, that up until 2 years ago, that is what had to happen. So originally Belgrade and Four Corners and places that are growing fast, they basically had to put development on hold, invest a bunch of money, build those plants, have that capacity, then they could go back and start allocating. And I think the department finally recognized that that probably wasn't the best way of doing business. And so they created this legislation and allowed this development plan process. Is that a great question?
Great explanation. That's good. That's a good one. It shrinks that gap between the longer term of the current residents paying for a plant that just support a loan that they haven't. It shrinks that gap. Any further questions? All right. Thanks for that. Well, that brings us to our next item, which is the East Zona Headworks and CIPP Lining Project Scope of Services Agreement. Time out. You good?
Skipping Kelly should be the
bid
award.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do that one. Man, I can't find that thing. Yeah, the bid award's next.
Okay, right.
So, keep putting the same letters in the thing, it's confusing.
You received a recommendation award letter from us, and also a set of the bid tabulations for both Schedule 1 and Schedule 2. I guess just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Once we received, Kevin was with us, the bid opening, we kind of go to work and we make sure that there's no mathematical errors. We make sure that everybody's turning all the necessary forms, the acknowledged addenda. We reviewed their bid bond. They've done a good faith effort in their disadvantaged business enterprise stuff. And then we basically go to work at reviewing kind of past project history for the apparent low bidder. As I mentioned, we only received one bid for the CIPP work, and that is Vortex Services. They were previously known as Planned and Engineered Construction, so here in Helena. And we found that, based on our work with them and other communities, well qualified to do that work. So we're recommending award to Vortex Services in the amount of $988,950. Moving on to Schedule 2, and this is the Headworks Inflin Pump Station portion of the project. We only received two bids, and I guess some of the question about, you know, why has infrastructure costs gone up so much? The bidding market out there is pretty tough right now. We're not seeing a lot of contractors bidding projects, like multiple contractors. So I think two bidders here, there were, I think, three, maybe four bidders that were looking at it, but we only received two bids. Obviously, the fewer bids you have, the less competition. But that being said, we think the city got a good number from a good contractor. We've worked directly with Prospect Construction on a couple of projects. They're starting to do more and more municipal type work around the state of Montana. So we are recommending award of Schedule 2 to Prospect Construction in the amount of $6,973,060. Any questions on the recommendation or the certified bid calculations so far? So what we are ultimately asking is for the city to approve is to authorize award of these pending concurrence from the state revolving fund. They have some pretty strict requirements that cities can't just move forward without getting concurrence from them. So if the city does decide to award these, it's essentially a request to the state revolving fund folks to allow us to award that. And I guess looking forward, once that does happen and we receive award concurrence from SRF, we would issue notice of award to each of the contractors and then subsequently ask them for bonds, insurance, filling out agreements, and then work our way towards construction next spring. Any questions on
it? Is there any public comment regarding the bid award? Seeing none, Council.
And we'll move to approve the Headworks and CIPP lining project bid awards.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is the scope of services agreement. Same project.
So, we've been fortunate to work with you guys on a lot of projects. This project is continuing that partnership. The last task orders we came to you on this project, one was for design and bidding, and also funding administration of the grants and the loans that you guys are taking. Now that we have a project that's defined and the city is moving forward with award of that project, we are required by SRF and you provide construction related services. And these construction related services can be broken into four basic groups. One is continued project management. So that's keeping Kevin apprised of situations, working with the funding agencies and coming back and making presentations with the council. So a couple of times during construction, we'll give you an update of where things at. Better yet, if you want to come out and tour the facility, more than willing to show you around. The next part is what I call the pre-construction phase. So essentially that's the bid award. So the notice of award, the bonds, insurance, that kind of stuff. And then the pre-construction conference that goes with that. One thing that's unique with this project is we did what I would call a base bid, alternate bid of equipment. So there's certain items of equipment that we have looked at. And we have received pricing from the contractor, and we'll work with Kevin and his staff to review that deductive or additive amounts to see if that's something we want to pursue. So that's also associated with the pre-construction phase. The construction phase, honestly, is probably 75% of this work. So the one schedule, the CIPP lining, is pretty short. It's about 75 days. Yet the inflow pump station and headworks is a full calendar year. So that's 365 days of construction. And so we will have somebody on site while the contractor is working, you know, 40, 45 hours per week, yes, of inspection, observing, making sure they're following the plans and specs. We'll have someone in the office who's reviewing submittals. They're doing change order requests, processing payment applications, that side of things. So there's a pretty substantial amount of work. We'll have progress meetings. And then ultimately, once the project is up and running, we'll assist city staff with startup of that equipment to make sure that We just don't hand it to them. Here's the keys, walk away. We'll make sure that they know how to operate it properly, and we'll help them with that. The last part is construction phase services. So we're required by DEQ in our approval to provide record drawings, write an operation and maintenance manual so staff have an understanding of how to operate the facility. There's ultimately going to be some defective work, and so we'll help the city through that. Ongoing plant operations assistance, and then all the closeout documentation that's required. We'll have a warranty inspection, and then we need to submit a report to DEQ for 1 year after performance has started. Any questions on scope of service?
Is there any public comment on the scope of service? Seeing none, council. I think there's really good, that schedule in the back. It's really informative of the breakdown. I appreciate the amount of work it even took to create that. Big project requires a lot of people, a lot of hands, and a lot of people working. That's what it is.
I'll make a motion to accept.
I have a motion to accept.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
There you go. Perfect. Made it through it, Jerome.
We're excited. It's going to be a great project and a new addition to the cities. So, looking forward to it.
Well, now we can talk about something exciting. Next on there is the appointment of Zach Butler as the patrol officer. Me and Councilmember Leland had the opportunity to interview Mr. Butler, and he has since subsequently gone through all of the hoops and steps necessary to have Chief bring him to us today, and we're excited to get him here, so I'll let Chief speak to him.
Well, I'm proud to introduce applicant Zach Butler, sitting up here with the tie on and everything else. Just to go through some of the things we have to meet, the administrative rules, state of Montana, rule 23.13.201, and then MCA 44-4-404 of what public officers, safety officers must. With that, Zach comes from a family of law enforcement. His dad's retired in Pierce County. A deputy over 25 years, served out there. His brother is currently employed as a police officer here in the city of East Helena. Zach is currently a branch manager at Grizzly Security. He's been there for over 4 years, and he's worked on security since 2014. He's a citizen of the United States. He's at least 18 years old. He was fingerprinted by the Montana Department of Justice on October 10th with no disqualifying response. He's not been convicted of a felony or a crime involving sexual conduct. In conducting his background, Zach is of good moral character. Everybody gave him raving reviews. People both inside his company, vice presidents of banks and whatnot, were all wishing that he would not leave. They really enjoyed him and respected him and appreciated everything that he's done for both the company and the company's people that they do business for, their customers. He has a GED. He successfully completed an oral interview October 7th, completed a background done by myself. Post-check completed on October 31st. He possesses a Montana driver's license. On November 6th, the police commission found applicant Zach Butler qualified and certified as he passed the examination required by the sections, and he meets the residency requirements required to the MCAs as well. Since he meets all the safety requirements, he's gone through a very stringent hiring process. We feel very confident that he would be a great addition to the city of East Helena and the city of East Helena Police Department. I'm humbly requesting approval from the city council to hire applicant public.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment on the appointment of Zach Beller as a patrol officer? Seeing none, council. I just like to say I'm pretty excited about him. He's been awesome, and his references were amazing. People are going to miss him.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second. And second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Work starts tomorrow, Zach.
Next time.
Yep. All right. Next up, we keep picking them off here. Number eight is the reappointment of Kit Johnson to the police commission. This is just a reappointment. We spoke with former council member Johnson, and he would like to maintain his position on the police commission, and I'm recommending him for reappointment. Any public comment on that? Keith, you're good with this as well? You're actually on this one. You're supportive. I don't think there's going to be any issues here. You're on here. I didn't know that. So, yeah. Council.
I'll move to Kit Johnson to the police commission.
A motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, got that one done. All right, Chief, you're not done yet. You got the Missouri River Drug Task Force MDU in front of you. You guys have that, and I will. Kind of a not a new thing to read a couple new years on next day board, but I'll let Chief speak to it.
Let you just repeat from the previous years, give you an update. Gallatin County is still has a captain that oversees the Missouri Drug Task Force. The grants, overseeing of the grants, providing budgets, things like that. Nothing's changed, but still same as it was last year. And so, again, I just request that we approve the MOU and keep us part of the Missouri Drug Task Force. They've been active out here in the last 3 years, and it's great for us to be a part of it, and you know, as a whole, it's for public safety here in East Dillon.
Thank you, Chief. Any public comment on the MOU with the Missouri River Drug Task Force? With that, too many words there. Seeing no public comment, Council.
I will approve the MOU.
Motion to approve.
I'll second
it. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up, CDBG grant planning consultant. Services proposal for WWC. We have reviewed the services proposal presented by WWC, and they were our only applicant to administer the grant. They meet the requirements, and we accepted their, upon your approval, we will accept their proposal. You have in front of you, it's pretty standard. Jeremy's been doing this, but he's been doing it, and I think he's the only one interested. It's awesome. So. There you go. Any public comment on the CDBG planning consultant service proposal? Say that seven times real fast. Seeing none, Council.
I'll move to approve.
Motion to approve. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving along. All right. Just a budget report. We're doing this quarterly now, and Clerk Treasurer Thorngren has this one. It's kind of, you have all the paper in front of you. You could probably answer any questions, or we could be very specific to a department, but this is just basically information only, isn't it? Have action. You can prove it.
Yeah, I'm going to do information only.
Yeah.
That. It's actually more of a trimester report. It was pulled for October. So
I don't see any glaring images when I reviewed it.
There's nothing that's over 33%.
There's some things that are higher that we buy once a year.
Right.
It's just some of the things that are just like that, but I didn't see any of
the pool, for instance.
Yeah.
The pool season is mostly over for this fiscal year.
Boy, is it cheap right now to run.
Making up
well, we just don't get a big ice fishing crew out there. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we put one of the vending machines out there, see what happens. That being said, is there any public comment regarding the budget proposal? The budget update.
Well, you guys don't put the cash revenue parts of it in there.
Good.
Never thought about it.
I don't know that there's a reason other than it, we just paired the bad quarterly budget with the expenses there now.
That would be available for anyone at any time. Correct.
If you want the information, we can.
This is just want to print it off.
That is not a hidden thing or anything. If you are interested in our cash, that's fun times too. That we could certainly include that in the quarterly proposal. This is generally, I think the MCA says to compare the quarterly to the budget. I think that's why we were doing that. I think that would be the reason you're asking. Doesn't provide for the cash in the MCA, but we're not opposed to putting that in there. Any further public comment? Council. We're going to approve it because you put it in action.
I see you did that.
It's here.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We made much better progress tonight. I'm really proud of everybody that I thought we were going to do. I'm going to keep Mayor comments short. The big thing I've been working on, as we had a water rights meeting, and with Mr. Bloomquist, you all received an email, I assume, Mr. Bloomquist. We had a meeting in regards to that. John is really smart about water rights, which I'm going to assume is going to take a lot of us. I'm not quite pedaling at his pace. It's hard to keep up with water rights, but we give it an effort, and he gave us a pretty good assessment about where we stand in that 40%, what that would provide for what we need. We directed him to lay out those concerns that what we don't meet in a letter, and kind of put it all in one thing. Maybe our intent is to, upon your approval, once you see the numbers and see what it does in a consolidated form, present that in a letter to the people we're allowed to talk to on the bottom of that email, including the Fish and Game, the DEQ, DNRC, and the politicians that be. So you will see a consolidated thing when Mr. Bloomquist is done. That was kind of the direction. So I think we need to have it boiled down into a letter, and then we'll get it to you guys, see what you guys think of it. It's a lot. Spent a day with the new hire, Sean Zimmerman. Thoroughly impressed. Great job. He's going to be great. Really meets the need. Did all the fun yearly stuff with the trust group and prepare. Get to see all the citizens that show interest in the cleanup. It's always good to touch base with Cindy and that crew. So all that. The only thing I have to ask you is about regarding the Christmas party. Let's see where we're at. If we want to go that route again, or if we want to direct me.
Yes, please.
I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeses.
Yeah.
All yeses. Okay, I'll reach out to you and see where from here. I just want to make sure everybody's on board. I think the employees seem to enjoy it. So we'll go forward. All right. That's all I have. Councilmember reports. Councilmember Dahl.
Let's see. We did the chamber business after hours here a while ago. We had a special council meeting, of course, for Highland Meadows number 4. Handed out candy. Went to the METG meeting to hear the updates on the trust land, and did the PPL trust tour. Took a little walk around the park. It'll be nice. Nobody told me there was walking involved.
Those paths are plenty wide enough for a golf cart. We should have tee boxes there. I don't know what they really did. There's some design failures. thanks, Don. Councilmember Leland.
I don't know that I really have anything either. Passed out candy.
I did interviews,
yes. Okay, that's me.
Councilmember.
We do need to at some point discuss the Christmas handout schedule.
Yeah.
I don't think we need again for that, do we?
Yeah,
we'll meet the days before.
Oh, okay.
Last
good
minute.
Enough then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, everyone should have a firm grasp of their availability at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
It's if Kevin can keep the breakers from flipping, we should be great with the cider this year. Warm cider does not stay long with no power. We learned this lesson. Last year it was just cold cider, which is frowned upon in winter. Councilmember Feist.
Been to a few things recently, but chamber business after hours at the high school, Northwestern Energy, that was great. Our special meeting, Coffee with the Chamber today, always a good turnout. Some local East Helenans there today too. Went to How the Helena, it was about housing, and they always leave out East Helena in anything that they do. But the comments all came back to East Helena and how wonderful it is to work with East Helena. So kudos to you, Kevin. They mentioned Helena and how difficult it is, and East Helena and how wonderful it is. And so always proud of that. One of the commissioners left the meeting. I don't know why that happened to at that time. But otherwise, I'm always proud of East Helena. Continue to go to Vision Helena meetings. One thing that came up from that is MBAC is contacting an organization, a mine in Idaho is reopening, and there's a potential for zinc refinement through that new mine. And so he was reaching out to Cindy as it was. And so to see about the slide from that meeting, I did go to the METG public meeting. I was glad that they have that. Continue to go to MBAC. We had an MBAC board meeting today, the Economic Development Authority. There are some defaults. Defaults have crept up, and there have been more. The Economic Development Authority had given about $50,000 loan to the Blue Montessori, and they closed. 130 kids with no warning are out. Need to find additional child care. So that was a big hit to MBAC, but some other ones had come up, and the first loan ever had was written off today as well. We approved that. So there have been some difficulties in the community, but hoping that turns around. Otherwise, I Red Ribbon Parade, always appreciate the police department and the fire department, and the Veterans Day celebration is always, that was packed, and always love seeing the kids there too. So the school district does a good job of getting the students there. Had a chamber board meeting, and there also another contractor was commenting on how difficult it is to work with the city of Helena and how wonderful it is to work with the city of East Helena. So hear it all over, and it's just appreciated. So keep that up. They also said we're not like Butte, who is like the Wild West, where they won't wear hard hats and they get mad and walk off the job. So glad we don't do that either. Tomorrow night is the Apples versus Donuts basketball game at the high school. So the sheriff's department and the school administrators from East Helena are doing a basketball game fundraiser. It's at 6:30 tomorrow night. And then have gotten a couple questions about the RAISE grant and if there's been any movement, any updates. So I may come visit about that.
Yep.
And apparently Town Pump opens on Thursday.
That's
that
a big
was
one.
In the news that we just, I don't know if anybody had been talked to or if they had invited the city to it, but heard it on the news and it's always on Thursday. So enjoy your coffee and deli. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, 2 days I have to be very nice, very kind to my wife because there are no corn dogs next door anymore. 2 days. They shut down today.
Next door.
Yeah, they now,
shut
well,
down today?
They shut down today, the old one. So I'm like, I'm being very kind to her.
And one question I have about the new casino is, do we need to do anything differently with that moving?
We've already approved that years ago with that liquor license, and that liquor license contains that gaming portion. But
and it
Chief,
just
has
moves
a,
next door.
Chief has a portion of that too. They have to, you have to go like tour somewhere, like approve it, right? And I'm surprised Deputy Chief Royce didn't get contracted out on that. Be a ringer on that donut squad. You'd be like, what with that height, man, and throwing down dunks on those teachers.
Dunkin' Days are
well, donuts. Dunkin' Donuts.
Competition.
Right, yeah. I don't know. Ridgeway's still got a handle. I don't know what you're yeah, cool.
You haven't been
no.
It's a county thing, no.
You want me to quit? On the RAISE grant?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So the RAISE grant, really fast. So Kayla and I got the application, the draft application submitted to Jim Stevenson, who's the Federal Highways representative, on Thursday of last week. So he's now reviewing all those documents to tell us whether he agrees that we've completed the packet all the way or not. We've also got it on the state STIP program and verified that we do not have to have it registered with the MPO, which was very painful. So now, once he comes back and says yes, that he says we filled everything out right, we're pretty sure we have, then it'll actually get submitted to Federal Highways. They're saying 2 to 3 months for them to respond to that. So in the interim, our plan is to go out with the RFQ in that 2 to 3 month period so that hopefully when we get the approval and get a signed agreement with Federal Highways and can start getting reimbursements, that we can move ahead and continue with design.
On that note, I may reach out to one of you to be involved in the RFQ selection process.
What is, originally when we had to talk, we had the choice of self doing this contract for the state.
So MDT would not administer it. No, so we have to do the direct agreement.
That was our first ask when we asked MDT, and they
went to the process. Yeah, I hadn't heard if they had. We figured they probably didn't want anything to do with it.
That was part of the question. That would have moved things along possibly a little faster.
Yeah, it goes faster because they already have agreements in place. Mm-hmm. But MDT response was that they are not administering any future grants, including TA grants, because they do not have the staff available.
I would say
that's
very true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully we should hear back from Jim hopefully this week. And if he says, gives us the thumbs up, we will formally submit everything to them and then wait for their response.
Either way, they gave us a no and DT'd it quickly. So we were able to get forward.
Oh, yeah.
Pick a road and we went over on this one.
Well, yes, they gave us that quickly.
Yeah, we didn't have to go back and forth and wait a long time. Yeah. I heard it happened to someone, but for some of these. All right, Council Member Ferguson.
It's the stuff other people talked about, the meeting, extra meeting, and parade, Veterans Day parade. I don't have anything else to say.
Thank you. Pete.
Same. Working on the East Clark Street, which will be essentially the old agreement rewritten with current parameters. Generally, what you'll end up seeing is that 24,000 gallons a day was the math for that was the 107 connections, the number of trailers and things that were out there, and stub outs that were actually put in. So the new agreement will just cap that's what those 24,000 gallons are for, is for the actual stubs they have out literally underneath trailers. So when we say they're connecting, they're not digging a service line. They put the service lines in and they're just underneath and able to just tap it into the house. So that's what the agreement that I will proffer to you will capture, is that's what those 24,000 gallons were for. Those are the people paying for the infrastructure, and those people should be able to tap that service line that's currently under their trailers, and that reallocating that surplus gallonage is not proper, given the fact that there is 107 taps out there that we can't observe, and we have clear indications that those are being connected without us ever being able to know that, because it's underneath the skirting of those trailers. So that'll be forthcoming. And I've been working on that with Mr. Murdo and Mr. Heath Mason as well, tangentially. Highland Meadows number 4, we got that done. That subdivision improvements agreement had that, and then the courts are going well, and the police department continues to do an awesome job. So I think our total number of calls for service this year is just as indicative of how hard they are working and how much they are involved in the community. So that's all I got.
Well, what Pete's not saying is that Pete is newly elected to the House of Representatives. So congratulations, Pete, from the city of East Alma.
Has nothing to do with my job here, other than I will have a leave of absence, and I will have I'm going to blank on his last name. Gavin from the JAG office has agreed to come out. So make introductions for him. And that's it. JAG, Judge Advocate General's Office.
JAG office is not, if you say it in, Pittsburghese, it sounds a little different. A Yinzer would get that, the JAG office. Yeah, good work. And again, congratulations, Pete. Well, here we are, just short of 8 p.m. which I think is awesome. Only the payment of the bills.
I'll move to pay the bills.
Move to pay the bills. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I adjourn this meeting at 7:59. Amy, awesome call.
And here goes my last drink, Kevin.
Luckily, she runs the place.
Thank y'all for sticking with us here. Sorry it took so long.
So on that.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You guys know where to get those Mylars? We need those Mylars.